Hi, everybody. Welcome to Am I the Asshole podcast. I am Danny Vega, joined today by my lovely, lovable co-host with the co-most, Sarah Levine. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm good. It's been a big week. Other Danny and I did our live podcast show at Union Hall.
Oh my God, I saw that. Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun. I was bummed that you weren't in town because that would have been fun. But, well.
I know. I mean, I'm still shocked. You know, we were in town. I was in the same town as you. Didn't even see you. That is some New York shit, man.
Truly. Truly. Ugh. So that was cool. Not that I didn't see you, but that we had the show.
Yeah.
And then also our Scam Goddess episode is out. So, I mean,
congrats.
Wow, I could die. It's cool now. I've done everything I need to do.
That's it. You're ready to die.
The dream.
Well, it's a good time to die, you know? So why not?
I know. No, as we were talking about my retirement plan on the Patreon, which is die young.
Die young. There we go. A lot of people are opting for this because, you know, it's tough, people. There's inflation and there's, you know, a lot of assholes, record levels of assholes on AITA.
So many wedding assholes. Yeah. It's actually wild.
Shouts to our new patrons. Adriana, Izzy, Jackson, Amy, Melody, Chloe, Carissa, and a very special shout out to Rachel, Emily, and Brooklyn. Thank you so much for joining us. Guys, we got a vibrant community. We got a Discord. I finally figured out how to do Discord links so they don't expire, so you can join. A lot of fun chats happening. And we got bi-weekly happy hour. Shout out to my happy hour crew. That was a blast this week. And I think we're kind of juice free. Honestly, I don't really have too much going on, Sarah. I mean, I don't know if I told you I had a burrito party. Did I tell you about the burrito party?
Burrito party? Wait, no.
I invited a bunch of friends to go to my park by my house, little Echo Park Lake, and we had my favorite Mexican food in LA. And you know what? I will promote it. It's called Sonora Town. It's actually pretty popular, but I kind of claim it. It's my place, even though it has thousands of Postmates reviews. It's mine. I found it. Sorry. There's nothing anyone
Danny
can do.
Danny discovered this place.
I discovered it. Okay. So, yeah, it was really fun. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really do a lot of like social gathering kind of events. It's always like a show or a thing. And as my goal this year is to do some of this and have social things, you know, invite people just to hang out, not to make anything or do anything, just to eat food and be friends.
Love that. I also love how you always preface the most like benign statements with, I'm going to be honest with you. Like,
well, it's a little embarrassing, you know, because I think it's obvious. You gotta have people around you. You gotta cultivate relationships. So I'm a little embarrassed to admit, like, no, I've never really thrown a party for anything besides my birthday, you know? And I'm like, you gotta do stuff.
Going away party.
I guess I did do the going away. Well, that was 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna wait till I'm 1 year closer to death or I'm leaving a place after a decade anymore. I want to do other fun stuff.
Yeah.
Trying.
Have fun.
People.
Do stuff. We love it.
A lot popping off at the park. The goslings are starting to look like geese, and it's only a matter of weeks, guys, if you're following my Insta story. These goslings have gone from adorable. They're going to be asshole geese in a matter of days, and you do hate to see it. You really
didn't
do.
Didn't we have, like, a geese defender in our midst?
Did somebody?
I thought we did, but maybe I just misread one of the texts or something.
I feel like most people are geese haters, you know? I'm really fascinated what happened to this species. I mean, what is their problem? They're hissing. I hissed at a goose yesterday. It kind of got in my way. And then it kind of looked
at it.
Yeah, and it kind of looked at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, you're on the path. And so I just gave it a good
and it's like, I've never seen this shape before.
I was like, I'll speak your language, goose. You want to go? You know, they just have this arrogance about them. And I'm like, you're literally in a human built park. Like, and nobody's asking you to leave, but you know, you're standing in the middle of the walking path. Like, you know, I know you're a goose and you don't understand the path system, but like, you can see people are here. Like, take a hint, dog.
Love it. Geese hate, UPS hate. We have it all on this podcast.
We really do. And I will tell you, Sarah, the ducks, it's funny because for a while the geese were fighting. I think that was like their mating thing, you know, trying to fight, I guess.
Now
I've seen two duck fights and I'm like, aww. Ducks, what's going on? And there's very few ducks. So I'm like, I'm worried that they're like fighting. I don't even know if they're fighting for a woman or what. I'm just like, are you all just mad at each other? There's no other ducks around here, guys. You guys are just kind of plucking at each other.
We don't. Who knows?
It's weird.
That's weird.
So.
I like that you're so engrossed in the local wildlife.
I love all my birds. I even learned the name of a bird. I'm not really that comfortable with the name. It's coot, which sounds like a slur. I hope it's not a slur.
Sounds like some private parts.
Yeah. Oh, coochie. There we go. Yeah. They're good boys, though. They're quiet little birds. They don't mess with nobody.
How's it spelled?
I think it's COOT.
That's kind of a cute name. Let me Google this.
Coot, coot.
Let's see what comes up. I'm a little afraid.
They've got like a little black, or maybe I think they're blackbirds with like a white dot. I don't really remember that.
I don't love these. They look like ghost ducks.
Yeah.
They're black with a white beak and red eyes. These are scary.
And I will though. I did see a duck cow. This duck, it had like a cow pattern. That was a limited edition. What's that?
Limited edition.
Limited edition. You know, don't rip off the heart tag because that's a rare duck. And you guys can tell how well I'm doing on Hinge based on how many bird stories I have. not well.
That's funny.
But suffice to say, people, please rate, review, and subscribe. I'll be honest, Sarah. I don't know what happened. I slipped up and I read a lot of reviews, and it was very hard on me. A lot of shade being thrown my way I cry crocodile tears and I never change. But there was one criticism that I think is valid, and I want to act on it, which is, you know, I think we do need more diversity on the pod. So we're working on that. We've got a couple episodes coming out with some diverse guests. Feeling comfortable even mentioning it. But look, we get criticized, and sometimes the criticism is so... we got this one email. This person ripped me a new one.
I didn't even see that one.
It was so attacking. I was like, God, I feel like, did I call this person when I thought I was podcasting and yell at them personally? Really took a lot of shots at me, referred to me exclusively as Daniel. And I had to give him credit. I was like...
That's funny.
I really hated it. It was good. I had to give him credit for that.
That's good.
But they were like, your apologies are all fake and you cry crocodile tears and da 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 da. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to respond to this person because this is so hostile. You know, what kind of conversation are we going to have here? They seem very angry, but
you're not going to convince someone.
Exactly.
If they think that your emotions are fake, you're not really going to convince them that it's real.
I think crocodile tears is a nuclear weapon to pull out. I mean, I think that's basically
I don't think so.
Crocodile tears? There, who can fake tears? That's such an accusation.
I feel like a lot of people.
Really? I feel like crocodile tears is just a low-key way of saying you have a personality disorder.
I think we pathologize things too much on this podcast.
Do you know someone who cries quote-unquote crocodile tears?
I watch a lot of Real Housewives again.
Oh boy.
So yes, I see it constantly.
Are you not willing to say that the Real Housewives might have a personality disorder or two among them?
Not all of them.
Among them, a couple floating around, some traits at least.
Sure, perhaps.
A little bit of DSM-5-ery. I don't know.
You just mean that you're a good actor. You do a lot of content.
Any
performing arts person can cry fake tears.
I mean, I can't fake cry. I'm not like a real actor. I'm like a comedy actor. I'm like, I'm acting because I'm doing a voice. I'm not like, I just can't anymore.
Wow, that was convincing. Are you okay?
No, because this person criticized me and I'm faking it. And I just want everyone to know I'm a monster, you know? I guess you're right. I guess I could fake it. But I wasn't faking whenever I cried back there. That was real shit.
I mean, I know that.
Thank you. I'm not a crocodile either. Fuck you. Why are they crocodile tears? What, a crocodile never cries? I guess, is that the premise there?
You know, I don't know the history of that particular idiom.
They're horse tears. How about that, honey?
Oh, boy.
All right. I did it. I dropped a horse. Rate, review, subscribe, share the podcast. Sarah and I don't have any juice. We're working our little heinies off and shit. And but you know what, guys, last week, if you tuned in, you were shortchanged. You were. I'm not going to lie to you. And in fact, some critics are saying that it actually wasn't one heck of an ep. It was actually one heck-ish of an ep because there was no guest verdict.
Did anybody notice? This is what's funny to me. I don't think a single person noticed.
Commentators, critics, analysts, everybody coming at me. Danny, not quite heck of an ep because there was no Guess the Verdict. But guess what, people? Today we have Guess the Verdict XL. That's right, folks.
My God.
We each have four situations. This is the face-off of the century, especially considering that Sarah was on an insane win. In fact, an insane win streak only comparable to my mother's Wordle streak. My mother is obliterating the family group chat at Wordle. I mean, it's ugly, Sarah.
What's
she's
her
winning.
Streak?
Oh, she's getting threes every day.
Oh, I see. What's her like days? Like how many days in a row?
Well, it's just we don't compare the streaks. We just always post our Wordle every day. And my mom gets a three every day. And my dad's coming in with a four. And he's like, oh, that was a near
she's
miss.
Cheating.
Blah. I did ask her to testify. I said, is it your testimony that you've never looked at any Wordle related content or strategy things? And she said she had not.
Wow.
And the kicker is that my dad is, he doesn't like to lose. He really doesn't like to lose. And so my brother wanted his airfare covered. And so he did a shady deal with my dad to refer to him as the Wordle King to get his airfare to my parents are doing an LA trip. And so
that's
now,
all it took.
That's all it took. My brother's love is pretty
your
easy to buy.
Your dad is soft.
What
it
do you
just
mean,
took man? Him being called the Wordle King one time.
He doesn't like to lose, Sarah.
This is very funny.
And
okay.
He wins at pickleball. So he's the Wordle King now from my brother. Well, the thing is, I'm kind of in on the deal because we're
fake.
Trying.
It's fake news.
It's
Sorry.
Fake news. Yeah, we're trying
fake
to pressure.
Stop the steal.
Her emails. My dad will be like, Dad, can we get Asian food tonight? And he'll go, I don't want that sushi thing. And we're like, okay, first of all, there's many kinds of Asian food, Dad. So my brother and I were deprived of Asian food. So now we are obsessed as adults.
As you do.
But we're working on my dad for this big California trip. We're very excited. We did get him to agree to get sushi. And so I have to say, Dr. Yes. Vega is the Wordle King. I'm putting it here on the air. And now he has to eat sushi.
Sometimes I'm just like, have you had the right sushi roll?
That's my exact theory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can get a little fried shrimp action. And sure, the sushi purists will tell you that it's Americanized bullshit. And I have no doubt that that's true. But like, hey.
I feel like
it's
my dad
gateway sushi.
Had horse sushi in Casa Grande, Arizona. And then it was literally like, you know, crab stick and cream cheese and mayonnaise. Ugh. And he's like, this is not good.
Or he's just like, and I get this, that he's like skeeved out by the idea of raw fish. I know people like that. I understand it.
But the thing is, Sarah, I called him yesterday and I go, it's my memory that as a kid that you got squid and that we ate squid together. And he goes, yeah, I like squid. And I was
but
like,
raw?
That's literally sushi. Yes. Raw squid.
I didn't know you could eat raw squid.
Yeah, no, it's oh, my God. It's actually heavenly. It's kind of like butter. In fact, some people say that the giant squids, you know how there's like the myth of the giant squid that we ate all those motherfuckers. So
wait, what do you mean the myth of the giant squid?
There's a myth in like, you know, sailor literature and Sailor Moon sailor lore. And that there were these giant squids and they have found a few giant squids, but there used to be many more. But we ate them.
I feel dumb because I'm like, aren't all squids giant? How big are we talking?
No, giant, like the size of a person. But most squids.
How big are squids normally?
That's a good question. I think we're going to have to turn to Google for this. Squid.
I thought they're big and scary.
Average size. I think they're usually no more than 2 feet long, according to the Wikipedia page on squid.
Oh, you know what? Because it's octopi that are big and scary.
Yeah, there's some big octopi out there.
No. They scare
I'll
me.
Say this.
They're too smart. I don't trust them.
My friend put this in my brain. This is really hurting me. He
no,
goes.
No, don't do it.
He was like in some, I think he was in Japan, and he said he was served whale meat, which is, you know, considered unethical to eat because the whales are our friends. But he said, you know, it was served to him. It was served to him. It was there. He ate it. And then he said that whale meat is the best meat he's ever had. And now I want to eat a whale.
No. Aren't they endangered?
I want to eat free Willy. I want to eat an endangered one. That's wrong.
No. They're not all endangered? I don't know anything. I'm an idiot.
We're
okay.
Learning a lot of animal facts.
I was like, review
are
that
whales,
on the pod. These people are stupid.
Are whales endangered?
I thought that's why you can't hunt them.
Oh my God, this is bad, Sarah. There's only 366 North Atlantic right whales left. Wow, that's a really funny sentence for the worldwildlife.org website.
That's bad.
But yeah, wow.
That's bad.
Okay, I don't want to make there be only one whale per day. That's, you know, I'm not going to eat one of those 366. There's got to be some non-endangered whales that I can eat at some point. I won't eat a whale, guys. Don't call me an asshole. I know we shouldn't eat whales. It's wrong.
Even though, also, whales are scary. I will put that out there.
They are scary, and they do cold call. A lot of people don't bring that up, but whales love to cold call.
I am sorry that joke went over my head.
It's just a stupid joke implying that whales call your house and ask about your extended warranty. It was stupid. But what's not stupid is probably how I'm about to get obliterated and guess the verdict XXLLLLLLAITA for wanting my 17-year-old daughter to keep her bedroom door open when boyfriend is in there.
Reddit likes to be like very, what's the word, open-minded. When it comes to your kids having sex in your house. However, I don't think that that's an unreasonable standard. And she's 17.
That's correct.
I'm going to go. I feel like Reddit is going to say YTA, but I'm going to say no assholes here.
No assholes here is wrong.
Damn it.
So it is a bit confusing. So OP says he doesn't want them to close the door for obvious reasons. Daughter is pissed because OP's 9-year-old daughter keeps running in there, messing their hang up. OP apparently has a bad back.
But then what are you doing in there?
Well, I mean, I think she's bothering them, you know. But OP says he has a bad back, so he can't constantly get up and keep her away. Top comment, YTA, Sarah. Oh, you had it.
Ah, damn it. I know Reddit better than it knows itself.
Sam Spade, PI, writes, YTA, not for the open door policy, but for doing nothing to keep your other daughter from constantly pestering them. 9 is plenty old to understand. Give your sister some privacy, please.
Damn it.
Pretty reasonable.
Ugh. Okay. Well, here we have, let's see, which one do I hit you with first? AITA for telling my girlfriend she's too dumb to go to law school.
Oh, my God. You would do this to me. This is just so... I mean, how can it not be an YTA, but you wouldn't hand me an easy YTA. So then it's ESH. She did something horrible. That feels safe. I'm going to go. But you would expect me to think this. This is a predictable line of thought. I'm going to go YTA.
YTA is wrong. So here's the deal. OP is a lawyer working at a nonprofit. The girlfriend is a caseworker. Recently, the girlfriend said that she wants to go to law school. So OP took a look at her essay. Now OP's girlfriend is not a native English speaker. So he said her written work was just objectively bad. My initial reaction upon reading her essay was, if she writes like this in a personal essay, there's no way she's going to be able to handle a memo. And he says, so I told her that. My basic point was, I think you have to prepare a lot more and think a lot more about this decision. I just don't think your expectations of law school match the reality, and you definitely need to improve your writing skills a lot more to be a competitive student. Now, the girlfriend got mad, said he was arrogant, and accused him of saying that she was too dumb to go. So the top comment, actually, maybe we should have debated this. It's kind of interesting. From Hong Kong, I'm here. Is NTA, you are honest, which is good. You know it's not only hard, but a huge time and financial commitment. It would be worse if you weren't honest and let her try to go through the process, which she can certainly still try, but you told her the truth.
That is interesting. I also feel like those are very different kinds of writing, but this guy does sound like a lawyer.
Right. I guess my thing is, like, just because you apply doesn't mean you're going to get in, and like law school is pretty competitive, so I don't know.
If I didn't get a lot of encouragement from him, I could maybe ding on that note, you know.
I guess that's true too, but yeah, I'm like, what's, I mean, aside from the application money, like, what's the harm in letting schools decide if she can cut it or not?
Yeah, but you should be able to be honest with your partner. It's an interesting one. Maybe we'll go into it at some point. I mean, ever since the Camille Vasquez case, which is how I refer to it now. I have also been fantasizing about becoming a lawyer, but, you know, you got to go to law school and pass the bar, and I'm stupid, so I'm not going to do that. But if Camille Vasquez is listening, I'm in love with you. Okay. Right. AITA. It's 0-0, people, for anyone at home.
Shut
for
the
people
so far
in the nosebleed seats. It is 0-0, guys. This is anyone's game. AITA for telling my wife that putting our son to bed was now her job and then moving my bed into a separate room.
I just read this one, and actually, I was going to choose it. I thought I did choose it, but I guess not. And the answer is no assholes here.
Ugh. Sucks. All right, 1 point for Sarah. Now, here's a story for you wonderful people in the crowd, including the nosebleeds. We appreciate it. You know, maybe spend more on a ticket next time. 35M with a 29F wife and a 2-year-old son. Now, she's a stay-at-home mom. OP works full-time from 6:30 to 5:30 p.m. Weirdhours.org. Don't go to that website. Kid is supposed to nap on wife's watch at 1:30, but wife has gotten incredibly lazy with putting him to bed. She
His
waits
words.
For...
His Not words. Danny's.
I am, in fact, reading. Well, I'm paraphrasing. She waits for him to become utterly exhausted at 4 p.m., the toddler. not the husband.
I was like, that seems like a decent strategy. I can only nap when I'm exhausted. I know nothing about child rearing.
Well, the problem is, Sarah, when it's OP's turn to put the son to bed at 9, when he went to bed at 4 and woke up at 6, he's not tired, and it's a whole thing to get him to sleep.
I know how that goes.
So OP tells his wife to fix things, and he moved his bed into another room, locked the door, and went to bed. She woke up that morning in a terrible mood because apparently having to do what I've been doing for months was bad. Gee. She told me I need to be more active in helping out with him. And I responded that I'll happily do so once she actually gets him down for his 2 p.m. nap. Sweet smile with a Y. Writes NAH, toddler is a difficult age. Their needs are constantly changing. Please be patient with each other. Raising a kid is hard on both parents, which I thought was pretty fair.
Yeah.
And I
that
wanted
is
to
funny.
Say,
I chose that one.
I know, you got it. I was
wondering how that has never happened before. It finally happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thought I had here that this was a very human and fair comment here by Sweet Smile with a Y. And I actually really appreciated one of the reviews I read, even though I did dwell on the negative ones much longer. Someone said they loved the podcast because it was very human. And I thought that was a nice compliment. That
nice.
Was beautiful.
And Danny's going to cry crocodile tears now. Sorry.
Yeah. Once I lose this guess the verdict, it's going to be big crocodile tear energy, folks.
All right, up next we have AITA for bringing my baby to a child-free wedding.
Ooh, guess what, Sarah?
Did you read this one?
I did. YTA.
No. YTA is right. I was thinking that this could be a situation in which it was an emergency or something, or they cleared it with the family.
Yeah.
And, like, they cleared it with the bride and groom, but then the in-laws were causing a stink, as is want to
cause a stink.
Right. I mean, this is literally nothing like that. OP just pretty much decided that the rules didn't apply to them. That was straight up it. She wrote, this is a pretty egregious crime. She just wrote on the RSVP that she was bringing the baby, but he'd be sitting on my lap and I'd bring my own food. And the husband didn't, the person who was getting married didn't say anything. So she assumed that it was okay. And I'm like, okay, ma'am, this isn't an airplane. Like, it doesn't matter if you can put the child on your lap. They still count as being a child at a child-free
right.
wedding.
That's not how
and,
that works, lady.
Right. The baby cried at the ceremony and then, like, just shit like that. So, I mean, this was completely wrong. OP got rocked. And the top comment from Brainy Bay said, YTA, your baby literally did the thing that the bride and groom wanted to avoid, disrupt the ceremony. You had plenty of time to find a babysitter or other family member to watch your kid while you went to the wedding, but decided that you were just above the rules.
Wow. r/entitled parents, folks. There we go.
Yeah, facts.
It's now 1-2-1, and it's time for our halftime show.
Oh, my God. I can't fake cry. Why are they saying I can fake cry? I can't fake cry.
Okay, that's the halftime show. AITA for proving a point to my friend and making her pay up on her bet.
I'm just going to go with the NTA.
NTA is wrong. Wow. What if we do a no-hitter? That would be so embarrassing. So OP says you can't be friends
it's
with...
It's not a no-hitter. We each got one.
I know, but, you know, we got them because we read them before. It's kind of cheating. I mean, I guess not. It's literacy. You know, it's knowledge versus with... Anyway, it doesn't matter. OP says you can't be friends with an ex, and him and his friend Jenny have like political differences, and they love everybody loves when they argue, I guess. I don't know if I believe that part, but whatever. They eventually make
a
bet.
Weird group of people.
I know. I was like, okay, not very common for people to stoke the flames of a conflict there, but whatever. They eventually they go at each other, Sarah, and they eventually make this bet that basically it kind of evolved, but the bet was if Jenny's guy friends want to sleep with her. She contends that they don't, that they're just friends. They make a $100 bet that
Jenny
she,
is naive. Okay.
You know, I'm happy you said it. They make a $100 bet that if she texts three of them to come over to her house, that two of the three will be on their way within a half hour. Jenny texts them and all three are asking her when.
That's
would be-
actually a good bet because now you're making plans about their availability. Like I'd text them at 3 a.m. because I'd win the bet.
That's a good point. Within a half hour is a tight, they must be in a small town or something for that to be guaranteed.
Right. Like, is this Domino's Pizza? Like,
yeah, there's a tracker. It's a horny guy tracker. She texts them and all three are asking her when would be a good time to come over. Jenny gets pissed and storms off. OP doesn't gloat, but says he wants his money. The guy friend says he deserves his money and the girlfriend says he needs to let it go and chill out. ESH was the top comment by Chill Stoner 0604. ESH for the whole you can't be friends with an ex BS. Also for encouraging her to use her friend's emotions for a bet. She sucks for taking the bet in the first place. Honestly, both of you seem exhausting. I don't know. I like a spirited argument.
I guess I can go with that.
I think some people can be friends with their ex, but I don't think you're an asshole for saying that. I think there's very good reasons for not being friends with your ex because, you know, it gets complicated.
Yeah. I think many straight people cannot do it.
There is a precedent that the LGBTQ plus have solved this, and the straights are still working on the technology at Area 51.
And it's called maturity, apparently. AITA for not wanting my father-in-law to stay with us after he became a widower.
Oh, no, that's brutal. So mom died. And then, I mean, we just had an argument about this because I was saying, you know, if it's my house, even if something horrible happens, that doesn't mean your family can move in, wife, because that's not part of the deal. Can we put them in a home or something? Can we find something else for them to do? That said, this sounds recent. This sounds like, you know, he just became a widower. I'm not saying zero time. Give him a couple months at least. Give him summer at the Vega house. One more time with the title.
AITA for not wanting my father-in-law to stay with us after he became a widower.
I mean, YTA would be the obvious choice here. Certainly sounds bad. Ugh. I'm going to go ESH.
Ah, man, you should have gone with YTA.
No.
Did some little reverse psychology. Flip it and reverse it. Okay. I mean, it's pretty much what you thought. The mother-in-law passed away 6 months ago unexpectedly. Now, OP has had this hard and fast rule that she did not want. I guess I don't know that it's a woman. I'm being heteronormative. OP did not want their extended family living with them. That's because when OP's mother died, their dad moved in with their sister and husband, and it almost wrecked that marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But here's the deal. So a few months ago, the father-in-law decided to sell his house. He's going to go, like, renovate his beach house and live there full time. He wanted to live with OP and OP's husband during the renovation, which was going to take 6 to 8 weeks. OP eventually agrees. She doesn't want to. They don't want to, but they relent. Now, this is what pushes them into asshole territory. So OP works from home every day. Relatable. And OP made it clear to father-in-law that they're working during the day and they are not to be bothered. And this is what OP says next. However, to keep himself busy, he started cooking meals every day. The horror. I would come out of my office around lunch and he'd have a whole spread ready for us. Again, the horror. I'm a fairly picky eater and prefer to eat a quick lunch and return to work. So I told him he didn't need to bother with that sort of thing, and he stopped. And OP has also been making themselves scarce and going back to their office after dinner so they don't have to hang out with the father-in-law. So father-in-law one day unexpectedly moved all stuff out and was like, I'm not going to be a burden to you anymore. I'll just stay in a motel. Top comment was, YTA, heaven forbid you show a speck of kindness to your father-in-law who lost his wife. He only needed to stay for a short time and you're complaining that he cooked you lunch? Oh, the horror. What a monster he must be.
Oh, my God. Truly this reminds me, we did a situation in the happy hour where this person called this guy a pizza creep. We got to cover this because it's so ridiculous.
A pizza creep? Did he leave a pizza on the windshield?
No, it was just this Italian guy who owned a restaurant, I guess. And he referred to their friend as like, amore, welcome. And then he gave them free garlic knots.
Oh, my God.
This OP was like, I didn't like how he gave us free stuff. And just like tried to.
Wow.
And then he also didn't charge them
for
drinks.
Rich.
Yeah, I didn't charge them for drinks. And then they just kept being like, oh, he's a creep. And it was like, "What, ma'am, why are you mad for getting free stuff? What?
I was going to say, maybe he is a creep, but I would also eat the free garlic knots.
Well, the only evidence of his creepiness was that he gave the garlic knots. They had no case against this poor man just trying to build business for his restaurant.
He didn't give them free drinks either?
Well, he knocked the drinks off the bill.
So he gave them free garlic knots and free drinks.
Yeah, but it wasn't like he creepily handed them drinks. He took the drinks
right out.
There was like nothing creepy. Anyway, here we go, guys.
He could be creeping. Why do people just do nice things? It depends where this took place.
At his pizza store.
Yes, but like, was it in New York City? Because if so, creeping. People don't just do nice shit for no
in
reason.
New York, that's funny. That is the kind of town New York is. Like, what do you want from me with this free thing?
Exactly.
AITA for refusing to buy quote unquote equal gifts for my children.
I'm going to go NTA equals in quotes for a reason. There's got to be a lot of like extenuating circumstances.
If Sarah misses this, guys, her best case scenario is a draw. And she did, in fact, miss it.
No, really?
So Donner wants a $600 Dyson Airwrap. Are you familiar with this product, Sarah?
Oh, yes.
What is the Dyson Airwrap for the people who are not familiar with high-end hair dryers? What is it?
It curls your hair.
Ugh.
It dries your hair to these like perfect waves somehow. I don't know how it works.
Wow. You have one of these?
No, I don't have one.
Do you pine for the Dyson Airwrap?
No, because I have a pretty good curling iron from Drybar. That works well.
Well, as someone with a $600 ice machine, I have to say, a good thing can cost $600. I don't know what that meant. But here's the thing. OP says that's too pricey for a 14-year-old. And he got her a hair dryer.
Okay, it is.
And some other stuff for her birthday. And when she opened her gift of the disgusting non-Dyson Airwrap hair dryer, she went silent. No thank you. Nothing. It festered in her 14-year-old heart until she finally accused them of injustice. As
what?
OP, yes, had purchased a giant Lego set for his 16-year-old son for completing his exams. Okay, and that Lego set, this blew my mind, cost more than the Airwrap. I didn't even know. I mean, I guess I knew there were expensive Lego sets,
wow,
but good Lord.
How much is the Airwrap again?
$600 new, but you can get a refurb for $500.
I feel like that's hardly worth it. Okay.
Ladies, I'm single. You want a Dyson Airwrap? I can't afford it. I bought the $600 ice machine. Have some crunchy ice, sweetheart. Let's have a good time, okay?
Oh, God.
Now, look, the daughter feels it's a crime.
How do you spend that much on Legos? I can't believe that.
For a 16-year-old? I know, I was a little...
Are you building a house with it? Like,
that's funny. It's a Lego set to own a house, to have built.
Yeah, that's
house.
The only way we can afford property these days.
So it went YTA, Bright Orange Flowers, which is a nice little poem of a username, writes, WTF, read back over what you've written. It's obvious you favor your son over your daughter, who you can't even give a name to like you did your son. I feel like that's not a very fair charge because people get so weird with names on these.
Yeah, people love to do like close readings. Like, this is an English class. We're on Reddit.
I would ding OP a little bit because I didn't like how he didn't say... You know, if he said she will get a gift as good as the son got when she completes her exams, I needed that sentence to create the equality because then I'm like, there's no difference here. He completed exams and he got the $600 gift or whatever, the ridiculous Lego purchase. And she should get a ridiculous purchase too. And it's okay as long as there is actual equality. They don't need equal gifts because they're not equal ages and they're not in equal situations, but they do deserve an equal upbringing. That's my belief. You should raise your kids equally as best as you can.
Right. Wow. So, okay.
Here we go, guys.
Well, here
this
we
is
go.
One
for
chance
all
to win.
The marbles.
Here we go.
AITA for being frustrated with my wife.
I'm going with you're the horse. Okay. AITA for being frustrated with my wife. That's a deep cut. For anyone who got that, let me know because I love you. All right. AITA for being frustrated with my wife. So you've given me nothing. We have an OP who is frustrated, which is not a sin, really. He's just frustrated. So then you go, okay, well, that could be no assholes here because he's just frustrated. But maybe he's frustrated she did something good. And we do hate men on the podcast. You know, I don't know. I kind of like my odds, assuming that he's an asshole. So I am, but then that would be two YTAs in a row. Would she do two YTAs in a row? Guys, I don't think she would. God, the game theory of this is so exhausting. I guess ESH last time, and it was an easy YTA. I'm going to double down. ESH.
Well, I guess we have a tie game here.
Ah!
Because it is no assholes here.
Wow.
Okay, so here's... it. I know. Here's the deal. It's like, I also feel like this is an exercise in having a good poker face now that we're not on, like, the Zencaster anymore.
Okay, but in my defense, Sarah, because we try to make our video for TikTok, so Sarah is actually, like... her head is sideways, so the top of her head is pointing right on my screen, so I have to, like, turn my head to really read her face properly, so I'm at a disadvantage. Anyway, go on.
That is fair. So, OP says that over the years. Sorry. Yeah.
This was a long game of GTBXL. I understand
that,
y'all.
I can't believe we haven't even started the episode yet. My God. OP says, over the years, their wife has insisted she has an autoimmune disorder, but... she's been to many doctors, tried diets, medications, vitamins, etc. Like, nobody can figure out what's wrong. And the symptoms seem to just be getting worse. Now, OP says in the meantime, they've taken on more responsibility at home. They take care of their two kids whenever they're home. So she can nap, do all the laundry, dishes, most of the cleaning, took two part-time jobs, have my own business that I work on the weekends. OP says, I was in the ER a year ago for what I thought was a cardiac incident and turned out to be exhaustion and dehydration.
Oh, no.
This has also happened again. And OP says, if I get sick, she suddenly seems to be sicker. OP says, I've asked for help. She seems to understand in the moment, but nothing seems to change. I'm getting increasingly frustrated with her lack of a role around the house. But I feel like I can't complain because she might be legitimately sick. So AITA, OP's wife, they did edit to add, does have a full-time job and is the primary breadwinner and also source of insurance for the family.
Hmm.
Weird way of putting it.
Yeah.
So the top comment was, after learning your wife works full-time and earns most of the income, picks the kids up from daycare and takes care of the kids while you're gone on the weekends, I'm changing my verdict to NAH at best. Oof. But they add, but honestly, it doesn't look good that you misrepresented your wife as somebody who basically sleeps all the time while you work three jobs, are the sole caretaker, and go to the ER with heart attack scares. You are possibly the asshole, definitely be the asshole if you drag your wife through years of contempt. Huh.
Wow.
That's a big red flag energy.
Yeah. That is, that's a lot.
It seems tough, but wow, it does seem like that guy was doing, or person was doing, some serious picture painting.
Yeah, I think, look, GTVXL, it was a tie, but I'm going to give it to Sarah because...
it's not earned. Don't give it to me.
Okay, I'm not giving it to you. All right, it's a tie. We will see what happens as guess the verdict develops. Guys, it's just a heated, heated thing. And to follow it up, please rate, review, subscribe. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/AITAPod. Free stickers still going out. Let me know. And let me know if you didn't get them. We do get some envelopes back. Some of you guys' addresses are the post office. Like, yeah, we can't even get it to this person. And I'm like, okay, well, this is the address they gave me. And then I'm like, what do I do? Put more stamps and try again? I don't know. Nonetheless, folks, we do have one juicy ep for you today. One heck of a juicy ep. Our second story of the day is AITA for expecting my wife to help me pay back my student loans from her inheritance. But first, AITA for filing a noise complaint about a single mom with a newborn. Don't love your odds, OP. Here we go.
I agree.
I-26F, live in an apartment. Okay, I like your odds more. I'm a resident in a medical profession, and I work 100-hour weeks plus a
Is
lot
that
of additional...
possible? Good Lord.
How many waking hours are in a week? 16 times 7, 7 times 10, 70. 7 times 6, 42. 112 hours of waking
Good
time.
God.
If you sleep 8 hours a night. That's a lot.
That sucks.
That's a lot. I hardly sleep as is. I cannot
There we
wear
go. Ear- it adds
yeah,
up.
Right? There. That's how they're making time. I cannot wear earplugs as I need to be able to hear my phone when on call or if I'm called about patient under my care. This happens frequently, and I never turn off my phone and only update it when I'm at work. Just
oh,
for an idea
God.
About how strongly I'm attached to my phone.
Oh my
Downstairs
God.
Neighbor.
It will be a raise.
Yeah, right. Downstairs neighbor had a baby. Since she came home from the hospital, I haven't slept through the night. I'm woken up every 1 to 2 hours by the baby, and the baby screams. I know the mom's trying her best. I'm sure she doesn't want to be woken up either, but I'm losing it. I fell asleep Thursday, standing up in the middle of rounds. My attending was not impressed, and I was reprimanded. Oh, no.
Well, that's shitty of them.
My boyfriend has been encouraging me to file a complaint because it's not fair. I can't sleep. I've tried to talk directly to my neighbor to ask if she could stop walking around her whole apartment. I've tried sleeping on my couch, which is better. But mom walks the baby around the apartment, or maybe if there could be some soundproofing done. But every time I've had the chance to go to her apartment, she's got a note about the baby sleeping and please don't knock. I don't have her number or other way to contact her. I feel weird about leaving a note. I want to address it in person. So I spoke to my landlord Friday. I was very clear. I'm not trying to blame her. I just want to know if there's some soundproofing that could be done or something. The landlord said they'd look into options. Well, Saturday I had a day off mandated because I'm now considered a risk to patients, which is causing a whole host of issues. I was sleeping and woke up to pounding and screaming. The mother was furious with me and kept screaming about how I'm selfish and trying to kick out a single mom. Neighbors were watching and I kept trying to explain, but she and the baby just kept screaming. God, this is...
Whoa,
nightmare fuel.
Sitch.
I lost it. I'm beyond exhausted and just scream back.
Oof.
I get it. I told her baby is so loud she might cost me my job and that I can't function anymore because of her and that soundproofing isn't the end of the world. If she can't soundproof, she should be considerate and fuck off from apartment living. Yikes. She started crying and left. I feel awful. I know I shouldn't have yelled. I know that makes me the asshole, but am I the asshole for filing a complaint? My impression was the landlord was going to fix the issue, not kick her out.
Yikes. I mean, I can sympathize a lot. I think my one, if I could ding OP, and it's hard, I think my one thing is like, and I will also say that you're obviously not thinking clearly when you are sleep deprived. But I kind of feel like, oh, I can't talk to her in person. Like, I just think that she should have 100% left a note. Like, I think that that's still better than going straight to the landlord.
I think you're spot on. I think you're spot on.
Oh, my
on.
God. Wow. Okay. Cool.
It
like, I just think, oh, I want to have this conversation in person. The times aren't syncing up. So, oh, well. It's like, well, you could leave a note. You could leave a note that just has your number and say, like, can you, because she has her phone on all the time, like, can you text me or call me, like, right. when it's convenient for you? I mean, I think the issuing the note route, bit of a cop out, but that's yeah. really, that's it.
Well, I love what you said. I mean, I think both of these individuals are, they're suffering. You know, this
yeah.
is really, really hard for both of them. I mean, single mom is really hard. Single mom with a newborn is like hard as mm-hmm. it gets. And then you have someone who's working ridiculous hours and, you know, they can't sleep. Now,
I
will say
this hospital system, like, this seems horrible.
I know, right? I might even kind of come for the boyfriend here because I don't know. Does he have any reason to not think straight? I mean, I do see this glaring thing where she's like, why don't you get soundproofing? And it's like, lady, why don't you get soundproofing? You know, you can also do things. I will say.
Sorry, who?
OP. Soundproofing yeah. works both ways. It's sound. You need to put stuff on the walls to reduce the sound. I mean, it's not, there's nothing special about, you know, the origin. That's another approach. Another form of soundproofing that I've used to moderate success. I mean, I had a very, God, this was hell, guys. I lived in a railroad apartment, which is an apartment where the rooms don't all connect, but you can kind of go into the hallway. And because of that, in order to access the bathroom, my roommate would have to open the front door, and the front door was right by my room. And the door was very light, and it would slam unless you shut it very carefully. And basically,
so
my
annoying.
My roommate's boyfriend was a bartender, and he would come home at four. And, you know, I think he probably had a few, and he would slam that freaking door. And the only solution I had, I mean, I must have brought it up to her 10 times, you know, but it's like he's coming in at four, so he forgets every time. So the only solution I had that kind of worked, I think it could really work, though, when it's not so dark. Because you got to understand, this like, my bed was a loft bed. It was against, like, that wall. So it was, like, it was the bass that woke me up, like, that bass of that door slamming.
Mm-hmm.
So I would play white noise really loud out of a speaker. And that is what I would tell anyone in a situation like this. White noise, it's not the most pleasant thing to fall asleep to. And it does hurt your sleep quality a little bit, like 5-10%. But the thing is,
compared to not getting any sleep, like, that's an improvement.
Yeah, you can really get rid of a lot of noise. And, like, I think some people don't know this. And, like, I actually, speaking of Karen, I want to do, like, a mega Karen thing and write. And basically, like, if I was president, I'd do an executive order, and every hotel needs to have an air conditioner with a fan on mode, and the fan needs to stay on.
I love the air conditioner. I don't think I'm taking the shit out of my window once the summer's over. I'm leaving it.
Yeah, we need the fan to stay on because hotels are quiet at night. And without that fan on, one person walking down that hallway, and then they shut their hotel door and boom, everyone just got woken up, you know? So mm-hmm. White noise is one potential problem solving approach here.
I mean, you could put down a rug. That helps, well, kind of. It's not going to... It's better than nothing. I think that's the first thing your landlord will tell you.
The thing is, soundproofing... Yeah, I don't even think soundproofing. I think it's got to be white noise is the only solution, really, that I can think of. Because if you can't do earbuds, the amount of padding and stuff you're going to have to put in is ridiculous. And it's honestly not going to matter that much, you know?
And also, like, why can't she stay at the boyfriend's?
I thought they lived together. That was my understanding.
Yeah,
we just went on a big rant in the Patreon. It's kind of dark, but it was about how America is a hellscape and no one can afford a house. Well, apparently we are still in this hell. OP reports that they don't even make 40 grand a year before taxes. And then they have student loans, so they can't even move, you know?
Oh, my fucking God.
So this is and you know, this also goes with this thing is like there's no affordable housing, and then the affordable housing there is sucks, right? Because, you know, my apartment is really well soundproofed. I can only hear things in the hall. I don't hear nothing, nothing from the neighbors.
Oh, wow. This seems crazy. OP says I have to live 15 minutes from the hospital, which is why I can't stay at my boyfriend's. I mean, this hospital seems like it has really like unrealistic standards.
I mean, it's just insane.
I've never heard that before. I don't doubt that it's real, but that just seems like, so your applicant pool is the people who live in a small radius? Like, that's wild to me.
Well, apparently they're a doctor. I guess maybe they're in residency.
Well, yeah, I forget how they're a resident, you do make money in residency, but you're not balling.
Yeah, I mean, 40 grand a year, you're scraping.
Clearly you're barely with making ends meet.
What's your loan payment? I mean, good Lord, this is really brutal. I mean, it's so hard to ding these people because I you know, and that's why I'm always here for you on your sleep journey. Because I mean, that's really ever since I've been sober, there's nothing that hurts me, you know, like being hungover except sleep deprivation. And you can come pretty damn close with just sleep deprivation. It is miserable. I actually think that's most of the misery of a hangover is you didn't sleep.
Yeah. Is this tiredness?
Yeah,
I agree. I will say one thing that you helped me, though, was making me realize that, like, you can't die from sleep deprivation. I thought, like, oh, surely at some point I'll collapse. But, like, you know, you see people go to the hospital for, like, exhaustion or something like that. Like, I was like, surely at some point I'll get a heart attack or collapse from exhaustion. And, like, the internet was kind of like, it's weird because every article I read would be like, sleep deprivation is serious and not sleeping for too long can have a whole host of problems, including death. But then I Googled it and I was like, well, how does it actually cause death? Like,
yeah, no, you can't. I mean, I already told you that there is a condition, a prion disease. It's very, very rare where you become unable to sleep, but you don't have a prion disease.
I mean, I think I would know by now.
You would have there would be other adverse effects. So anyway, you can't die from not sleeping, but it is hellish misery. I think we feel for both of these people. I even think Reddit is seeing eye to eye here. Top comment, Mr. Hamman 80. No assholes here. Mother is not an asshole for having a crying baby.
I mean, nobody said that, okay?
Right.
I don't think that was ever part of it.
He says, your employer is an asshole. What they're doing should be illegal, and that's not big hyperbole. Time. The other assholes are the people that build a set of flats apartments that don't even have the barest of soundproofing.
I mean, I
think that's true, and it just speaks to the times, you know? Expensive mm-hmm. houses, shitty apartments, and this sounds really awful.
I don't know. Okay, but do you think this is true? If they don't have even the barest of soundproofing to muffle the cries of a baby, their lungs just aren't that big to make the kind of noise that should carry if no. they actually, like, maintain it properly. I'm like, babies are loud. I don't know.
Babies are loud. Well, that's
their whole thing. They're supposed to be able to, like, wake you up if you're asleep with a cry, right? So I'm like, what is this about the lung capacity?
No, that's idiotic. Your hearing is designed to hear a crying baby. That's actually where your ears are most sensitive, that range, for good reason. Obviously, you want to hear your baby crying. It's probably getting eaten by a wolf, you know, classically.
Oh, my gosh.
So not that ears are designed. Don't come for me. I don't believe that ears are designed, obviously. But you get it, people. Okay? Calm down, Richard Dawkins. Relax. Anyway, I think we agree. AITA for filing a noise complaint about a single mom with a newborn. This OP and this single mother, we're saying no assholes here, right, Sarah?
Yeah.
We are aligned on this. All right, Sarah, you are up. Here we go, folks.
Okay, AITA for expecting my wife to help me pay back my student loans from her inheritance. My wife is a stay-at-home mom for our two kids, and I work full-time as the sole income provider for the family. I am slowly working on paying back my student loans. My wife recently received a relatively large inheritance, about five times the amount of my student loans. Woo! A month after everything regarding the inheritance was settled, I talked with my wife about using the inheritance to pay off my loans. She refused to give me any of the money and said the inheritance belongs only to her. I told her that, yes, legally that's true, but we're a family and we should share our resources to make our burdens easier. She disagreed and said my student loans predate our marriage and are my sole responsibility.
Whoa.
I felt like she was being unfair to our relationship and to us as a family, so the next day I told her that if she wasn't going to help me pay off her loans, now that she has money, I won't be paying for any expenses that is solely hers. Clothes, eating out, flights, makeup, whatever, you get the gist. Instead, I'll be putting that money towards my loans to pay them back faster. She accused me of being controlling with money and abusing my position as the income earner, but I don't see why I should be responsible for all that when she has her own money now. AITA.
Wow. I mean, first of all, I just want to say, please don't marry someone without having this conversation about who's paying back the debt. And, you know, they seem like they haven't really discussed finances. But I don't know. I think this is a toughie. I see some toughness here.
It's hard, actually, because, like, okay, saying that his loans are his sole responsibility are rough, but, like, the fact that he took them out before they got married, I think is, like, I don't know, something to consider.
I think where I get a little tight, though, is, you know, for her to, she doesn't seem to view this at all as something for both of them. And I don't know.
Right.
I mean, you know, my best defense for her is that she actually wants out of this marriage. And she doesn't really care about him. He's just the provider. And now she finally has some resources of her own. But, like, God, it's pretty fucked up to receive a windfall of this kind and tell your spouse, hey, fuck off, bucko. This is all my money. Now, if she had said something more nuanced, like, well, no, we're not going to use the money on your loans. That's your responsibility. But, of course, it's our money and we can use this judiciously on, you know, on our family. That would be reasonable. It sounds like someone who's in a marriage that's working. Her attitude here is really odd.
Like, she might need to feel that she needs to bank that money, because if she's been out of the workforce for however long she's been raising the kids, like, it's going to impact her ability to get back into it. But none of that was said.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's obviously part of what she's thinking, but that, again, goes to what I'm saying. If this was a good marriage, you wouldn't have that mindset because you'd be thinking, well, I'm fine because my husband is the provider here. So
yeah,
it almost sounds like she's on her way out. I mean, you know, this is, and then for her to flip it on him and say now he's being controlling about money. So it really sounds like they didn't have a conversation because, you know, what's going on in this dynamic? You know, mm-hmm. it seems like really ugly. And, you know, it's also not really smart for him to force her to pay for all this stuff now. I don't really like
right,
that
now
move.
She's going to spend her inheritance that she could help put towards your loans. Like now you're forcing her to do that. So it's retaliatory, but it's also like, you know, you're kind of hurting yourself in the end.
Absolutely. I'm almost ready. This might be a break up with each other, if I can say, because it doesn't sound like a lot of love.
I don't think it's quite. I think it's
here.
Like financial counseling. I don't think we're quite at that stage yet, in my opinion.
If you get a massive windfall and you have a spouse and your attitude is that money is all mine, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to tell
you. I mean,
I
think anything is worth counseling, almost.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth trying, but I'm like, that to me says you must. I mean, I think I'm with you that she's like, yeah, I might be hard up later because she doesn't see this marriage working. So I'm like, okay, well, and then end it now because, God. I mean, God damn, Sarah, if I received a huge windfall, I would give you some. You know what I mean? Like, good Christ. Yes, I would. I would spend some of it on you. Maybe I would, you know, I'd take, go out for a ridiculous dinner or something. I don't know, to immediately just go, it's all mine. It's all mine. It's like, damn, dog. All right. I didn't realize we were enemies. I thought, you know, I kind of thought we were on the same team here.
That's funny. I mean, I would not expect that, but I get what you're saying.
Good. I mean, he said it's five times the amount of his student loans. I mean, what's the average student loan? 60 grand. So it's like 300 grand.
That's a lot of money.
Probably at least. I mean, and your energy is 0% of that goes into anything. I mean, look, imagine if it was flipped. He gets all the money and then he just says, no, you know, I'm the breadwinner and I have even more.
Well, we don't
money
need
now
to gender flip it.
Like, no, I'm not gender flipping. I'm saying, what if he got the money? I would be saying the same thing. Like, obviously, that's their money. So I,
right.
I don't know. I think I might be leaning. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning NTA a little bit because it's mean.
Yeah.
It's so mean.
I mean, it kind of seems like to me ESH because like he's being retaliatory. She's not. She's being like just literally selfish.
ESH, top comment, constant craving writes, yeah, it would be sensible of her to use that money to help you with your loans to generally put your family in a better position. Yes, it's abusing your position as an income earner to deny her money for herself unless you're paying her a salary for watching the children. Then she is enabling you to make your salary as an entitled and is entitled to money too.
Well, I guess I don't agree with that latter part because now if she didn't have her own money, then it would be. But now she does have her own money. So it's like, do you want it both ways? You can't really have it both ways.
Yeah, well, I don't know. See, it's interesting because this comment actually pushed me in a different direction. But I'm with you, right? Because now she just did earn a lot of income. I think that's a fair way to characterize this. You know, it was unexpected. Did they say it was unexpected? No, she received a relatively large inheritance. So I guess that was coming down. I mean, the thing is, essentially what she's saying is, fuck you. My money is my money. And then he's saying, okay, you want to play like that? My money is my money. I don't know. I think now I'm moving back to ESH because I think...
Yeah, when you put it like that, it's just childish.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, for her to take that approach is just... completely self-centered and unfair, I think, you know? I mean, good God, why are you married then, really? You're not on the same team. You're on different teams, apparently. If this is strictly right. A transaction where she basically is receiving a salary to care for the kids, okay, then hire a sitter. You know, like, what is going on?
Right. Like, I feel like when one partner agrees to be a stay-at-home parent, like, the agreement is that your spouse is not paying you a salary.
Yeah, I mean, she's trading her career potential, and so she does need to be taken care of, but, you know,
right.
the idea...
I feel like that just means, like, pay for stuff, maybe allowance, sure, but like, I don't know. Yeah,
some allowance, a little bit.
Yeah, but the way of it being phrased as like, unless you're paying her a salary, it's like, no one does that. Unless you were like literally working in childcare. I don't get it.
Yeah,
maybe I'm just being literal about that part.
No, I think it's a little, it's a toughie. NTA, and I say that as a stay-at-home mom, you can't have it both ways. ESH, y'all are headed for divorce at this rate. I just feel like that's the easiest way to go with this.
ESH, I'm like, break up with them.
She's signaling divorce by hoarding that money in such a bizarre way like that, so aggressively. Goals, no other things. You know, it's not that she has to pay back his loans. It's that, why isn't this their money yet? You know, that's strange. I mean, I guess where I'm kind of, because if there was a prenup, you know, that's the thing. They just didn't communicate. Sounds like they're just not on the same page and they don't really love each other.
Damn, we went so nuclear.
Right. I mean, but because I'm like, okay, well, if she knew she was getting an inheritance, then there would be a prenup. And it's possible then that she would, you know, stipulate in the prenup that he doesn't just get her inheritance automatically. But, you know, when she's not working, so she's bringing no financial resources to the table, you know, generally the prenup.
But she's saving them money.
She's saving that money to run. Shit. That's what it really seems like.
No, but I'm saying, but like, she's sort of indirectly bringing financial resources, right? Because that's why people do a lot of times become stay-at-home parents, is to save the money on childcare.
Yeah, you're right. They're saving money through that. But I was referring to she's not saying that they need to save the money. That's what I was on about. You know, that would be totally different. She's just saying it's mine. I don't know. I'm kind of between an ESH and an NTA because I don't know what he's supposed to do. I mean, I would feel hurt by this. I'm like, seriously? So we're not going to, this doesn't affect our financial. So we don't have a financial situation according to you. We have an arrangement where you are essentially a salaried employee. I think that's what this boils down to. And whatever happens to you doesn't matter or affect me. I'm like, okay, so then you're my employee. Then why are we married?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Whereas if it was like, okay, I don't want you to inherit, you know, my parents' estate or something like that. I guess I'm also kind of on a money is real thing, right? Because like, I don't know, he doesn't talk about his income, but presumably it's, you know, relatively normal. So they're not super like flush. He's hurt by the student loans. It's something that affects their lifestyle, presumably. I don't feel like that's a crazy thing to assume. I mean,
any amount of student loans is going to affect your lifestyle because even if you're paying $50 a month, that's $50 a month you could have to do anything else.
Stumbling Through writes, I received an inheritance in 2020, and the moment I did, I contributed a large portion to our mortgage. My husband is the breadwinner and purchased the home without my help. He pays most of the bills. He makes more money than I do. The rest we are investing and using to reno the kitchen. I was excited to take some of the burden off my partner. As women, we are told to keep money like that aside in case our husbands F us over, but I can't really live like that. Also, there should be no reason for you to give your wife money as she has her inheritance sitting in her bank account. This is gnarly. I mean, I'm almost ready to just go break up with each other because this just doesn't sound like love. I have a headache.
That's my verdict. Like, I don't even know what to think.
Somebody else here said financial counseling.
I think that's reasonable before you break up. Like, you have two kids.
Yeah.
It seems like it's the first iteration of this issue aside from, like, you never talking about this before. But you know what I mean.
I'm actually seeing majority NTAs as I go through all these comments.
I don't know what that means, though, because enough people voted on the other ESH comments to bring them towards the top.
Well, yeah, and Reddit is sometimes crazily wrong anyway. I mean, yeah. I think at least the pullaways from here are definitely talk about this before it happens. And someone here wrote NTA gut check. Is she planning on leaving you maybe? That to me is what this reads like. The thing is to keep some of it. To keep half of it, to keep three quarters of it, but to do it's a five. I mean,
she's
times.
Keeping four fifths. Like,
yeah,
she would be keeping four fifths. So it's kind of like
nothing. No, right. I can't, Sarah. I can't. You're right. You just dropped the sentence that's going to push me to NTA. She can Excuse keep 80% of that money and kill his loans, and she's going to give him nothing. Mm-mm. I'm sorry. I AITA for expecting my wife to help pay me back my student loans from her inheritance after getting we estimate 300 grand. I'm saying NTA and she is. It's too greedy.
Sure. Let's go with it.
We've exhausted Sarah.
I don't feel strongly really either way between ESH or NTA. You can make an argument for both.
It's a tough one. Sarah's tired. She did GTV XL. We don't have our ACs on. We're cooking alive here. I'm sweating so much. So we're going to wrap it up. It's still a long episode. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/AITAPod. And we'll see you next Monday morning. Bye.
Bye.